Welcome back to First Take. Speaking of New York, coming to you live from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. NBA champion Kendrick Perkins joining the debate. But Stephen, hey, you know I am coming to you. How do you feel about the Knicks selecting Obi with the 8th pick?
Well, I'll confess that I listen. I like Obi. The brother's a Skywalker. He averaged 20 a game in college. His last season in college, in the 2 years that he was there, it was like 14 and then 20. Last year, on nearly 70% shooting, nearly 40% shoot from three-point range. The brother's got game. I like him. I don't think it was a bad pick. My issue with the New York Knicks is that it's a guard-oriented game. You need to elevate your level of guard play. Knowing Tom Thibodeau the way that we should know him by now, guard play is essential to anything that he wants to do. And you had that kid Tyrese Halliburton there. Now, if you're the New York Knicks, here's the argument that you've made to me within the last 24 hours. Stephen A., watch what we're doing. Obi Toppin was arguably the best talent in the draft. We didn't expect him to fall to number 8. You remember, he was projected to be picked in the top 5. But he got picked at number 8. Number 2, this brother, they think, got a better outside shot than Halliburton. He's clearly more athletic. Number 3, they're looking at Julius Randle. This is the last year of his deal. Even though he got a deal after that, it's not fully guaranteed. It's only partially guaranteed, to my understanding. All right, Bobby Portis got a player option. You traded Marcus Morris in that 3-team deal, and you got a first-round pick because of it. So their mentality is that this dude has the potential. A Brooklyn native, Brooklyn born and bred. This Brooklyn native who's a Skywalker, who could be box office, we now have at the Garden. My issue with the New York Knicks is I respect that. I understand it. My problem is, my only problem, has nothing to do, I hope he's watching, nothing against Obi Toppin whatsoever. I know the kid's got promise, potential, he can play. I got love for him. My issue is that with the New York Knicks, you really, really needed guard play. And Halliburton, according to all the aficionados, was that guard. It's not about the player himself, his skill set. I just didn't think that was what they needed more than they needed a guard. I hope I'm wrong.
I think it was a natural pick for the Knicks. I agree about Halliburton. Like, in a draft where I'm not sure about anybody, Halliburton was the safest pick. He's going to be a nice player, at least, if not a very, very good one. So maybe part of the Knicks' problems is they don't just take the guy that absolutely will be pretty good, you know? Like, maybe, and so they constantly are trying to hit a home run. Who knows? But although Frank Ntilikina is not exactly swinging for the fences. If their rationale is we're trying to replace Julius Randle or Bobby Portis potentially, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. You want to replace Julius Randle? They gave $20 million a year to do what? The Knicks don't win any games. Julius Randle's okay. He's fine. Like, not a $20 million a year player. And you're looking – so that – no. If that's the rationale, they should just not say that out loud because people will laugh at them. If, however, their rationale is, look, this dude was the best player in college. He's excellent. He has star potential. He's from the area. What can't he do at the 4 spot, especially, right, at least offensively? We believe he can develop defensively. And at 8, when you have a chance to take a talent like that, do it. He has real star potential. I agree. Most people who don't like Toppin point to the fact that he's 22 years old. And we've seen this before where a guy looks amazing in college, especially nowadays when you don't have a lot of 22-year-olds playing, you know, the top draft is 18, 19, 20 years old. He has a couple more years to develop. So maybe his ceiling isn't what you would really project because he's already closer to it than some of the other guys. But that aside, if you're not worried about the age so much, you think he's still going to get better, it's a natural pick for the Knicks. He was probably the best available talent, as you said, Stephen A., even several spots higher, he might have been the best available talent. I think it's a good pick for him.
You know what? I can't believe both of you guys, Stephen A., you and Max, fellow New Yorkers, and y'all complaining? This is the best thing that the New York Knicks have done in the last 10 years by drafting Obi Toppin. This kid is electrifying. He's box office. He reminds me a lot of Blake Griffin when he was coming out. He's going to fill up seats. He's must-see TV. The kid averaged, the young man, I ain't even going to call him a kid. The young man averaged, he led college with 107 dunks last year. And I'm not talking about Kendrick Perkins type dunks, little one-hand, two-hand flushes. I'm talking about between the legs, windmilling and all. And he can stretch the floor. Look, he's ferocious. He's ready. And Max, you're talking about a ceiling. Look, nothing gets you ready like being in the NBA. I was a guy that came straight out of high school, and being in the NBA, sitting on the bench for 2 years, my first 2 years, is what got me ready, because I saw a lot of rookies that went to college for 4 years that came into the NBA that was 22, 23 years old, and they still wasn't ready. They still had a lot to learn. He's going to learn a lot, especially under Coach Tom Thibodeau. So look, the New York fans, y'all have something to be proud about, be happy about. You could get the popcorn popping again back in Madison Square Garden. And I tell you one thing, if the Knicks could pull off and trade for Russell Westbrook, you might as well add the butter to the popcorn. But I'm all in for the OB topping with the New York Knicks. I think they hit a home run with that pick. He was the best available player at the time, and they had to grab him. I know you wanted a guard, Stephen A. I know you wanted a guard because you was a guard in high school shooting that broke jumper. I get it. OB Toppin was a home run for the New York Knicks, period.
Yeah, KP, I'm not going to disagree with you, because clearly you've seen him more than I have, and I'll give you that. And I know he was a skywalker, and I know about the dunks. I get all of that. I've seen enough highlights of him, and I saw at least one Dayton game this year. But I will tell you this. Here's my thing. You got to remember, I'm not questioning his talent by any stretch of the imagination. I want to reiterate that. I'm thinking about fit, too. I'm thinking about who's he being coached by, and I'm thinking about what personnel they have along with him. If you had a guard, and in fairness to the New York Knicks, it wasn't like they didn't go and acquire a guard late in the first round, and then I think again in the second round. All I'm trying to say is that's my question mark. I think about guard play, because if I had that solidified, then I'm looking at Obi Toppin and I'm like, this brother in the open court is going to be something special. I think he'll be a bit different in half court play than he is if you're pushing the ball up the floor in the open court and you unleash this brother. If you don't have guards that can do that for you, it can be problematic. But you might be right. I know I'm praying that you're right, KP, because God knows the New York Knicks need all the help that they can get. And I'm really, really praying and deferring to you and hoping that you're right, because in fairness to Obi, I haven't seen much of him. I've only seen a little bit of him, so I hope you're right.
The key and then that we makes have him to, different to me to, than just a skywalker than just a skywalker in the and a guy who can help you in the open court and all that is he can stretch it out to three. Perk brought it up. And that makes him a little different than your typical guy like that. The only question I have about Obi Toppin as a pick here is his age. That's it. And Perk, I'm talking about a ceiling in that if you're already 22, sometimes a 22-year-old coming out of college playing against, 19 and 20-year-olds is going to look better than he eventually really will be because he had that little advantage in development. That's the only kind of red flag for me here is his age. But it's the natural pick for the Knicks, especially he's from the area, given what he just did and the fact that he can shoot, it's a natural pick.
Max, you have to realize you don't reach your prime until the age of 27. So Obi Toppin still have 5 years to develop. But I'm going to tell you this. He plays with a chip on his shoulder. He plays with a certain type of tenacity. He has a certain type of swagger about himself. And he's a dog. He's a straight-up dog, and I'm pairing him, and I'm looking at him going on alongside R.J. Barrett, who should come back better this year, who had a pretty okay season last year, but should come back better this season, and you have those two as your foundation. I think the Knicks won last night by drafting Obi Toppin, and now we'll see what they'll do in free agency. But if you're a Knicks fan, you got to be excited, because y'all was – Y'all was at the bottom of the bottom. So, really, y'all shouldn't have anything to be complaining about, okay? Both of you two. Max, you that's and fair. Stephen A.
No, that's fair.
He'll trade him for draft picks in four years when he wants out.
I've been miserable for a long time.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
NBA news, fellas. Daryl Morey has already been making moves with the new Sixers as the new Sixers GM. Yesterday, the team dealt away Al Horford, saving the team millions in payroll and luxury tax in a deal with the Thunder that includes Danny Green. The Sixers also got Seth Curry from the Mavs. Now, James Harden's future on Morey's former team is still unknown after turning down a record-setting deal with the Rockets in pursuit of a deal with the Brooklyn Nets. Stephen A., the Sixers' moves lead me to this question. Where should Harden want to play? Is it Brooklyn now or Philly?
Listen, that's a great question because Daryl Morey's doing it up right there in Philadelphia. Deserves a lot of credit, but I'm going to go with Brooklyn. I'm going to go with Brooklyn because I want to see James Harden in a situation where he's the hunted. You know, it's one thing, Max, to have expectations where, okay, you know what? We know the Warriors are better, but you got CP3, you got your team. This is y'all shot. Go for it. Even though they're the better team, this is y'all shot. It's another thing entirely where you walk into a LeBron James, D-Wade, Chris Bosh kind of situation where with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, everybody's looking at you, and the expectation is the chip or bust. The chip or bust. Because regardless of what we want to say, regardless of the 27 straight missed threes by the Houston Rockets a couple of years ago in the Western Conference Finals Game 7, and the fact that James Harden wasn't hitting his threes that game, etc., etc., that's one thing, but you still lost to a superior team. You had Klay, you had Steph, you had KD. They were still the superior team. You join KD and Kyrie in Brooklyn, you are officially the hunted, especially in the Eastern Conference. I haven't seen James Harden in that kind of situation. And as good as the Sixers situation is with him and Embiid, if he were to go there, along with Seth Curry, who's a Curry, that means he can shoot the damn ball, okay? And you got Terrence Ferguson there now and Danny Green there now, stuff like that. It ain't the same as Brooklyn with KD and Kyrie. I wouldn't mind seeing them in Philadelphia because that definitely would elevate their championship expectations, but I would prefer to see him in Brooklyn. I would love that big three situation just to see how they all respond to that.
I'd rather see him in Philly. Look, I understand the appeal of Brooklyn, and I don't even think it's just that it's the hunted one. The appeal of Brooklyn is if you win a championship in Brooklyn, USA, you got no idea. People just don't know. Brooklyn rings bells all around the world, and they've been thirsty for a championship in a major sport for 65 years. And New York's been thirsty for a championship at an NBA level in almost 50 years. And at any basketball level in the pros, if you include the ABA in 45 years, it would be amazing. But here's why I prefer Philadelphia. First of all, Daryl Morey. Like, it's one thing. You could talk about the process all you want. The process built up reserves, right? It built up draft picks and a lot of value, a lot of assets on the franchise. They never really saw it through. They brought in Colangelo. He took that kind of potential energy and he turned it into a subpar situation compared to what it could have been. And that process continued. Daryl Morey comes in and now has to clean up other people's messes. And what does he do first thing? Gets out from under a bad contract, really doesn't give up much draft capital in exchange, and gets back two shooters. One of them is absolutely lights out in Seth Curry, and the other one's a legit 3-and-D guy. I know he's coming off a bad season, but a legit 3-and-D guy who can play 25 minutes a game and has shown he can be a big part of a championship piece in Danny Green, right? He's shown it multiple times now. So that's an amazing job Daryl Morey's done. And it's the reason Harden should pick Philadelphia. Stephen A., he'd have a real chance to win a championship. And if he did it there, he'd have proved something. See, if you go to Brooklyn and you pick team up with KD and Kyrie and you win, so what? So what? Yeah, if you have two MVPs and another all-star plus on a team, you win. Like when Shaq and Kobe got together, imagine if they also had Ray Allen. Why play the season? Right? They won. They three-peated as it was. Now add Ray Allen to the... Why? You have two MVPs and an all-star plus? The reason KD going to Golden State was so like, oh, come on, KD, you're better than that, is because he and Steph are both all-stars, and Klay is an all-star plus, and Dre was an all-star. They couldn't lose. The reason people didn't even like it when LeBron formed the super team in Miami is because at the time, Dwayne Wade was playing at MVP caliber level. So now you got LeBron and two MVPs, and you got Bosh, another all-star plus. It's like, come on, you're trying to stack the deck too much. I would have hated to see Kawhi go to the Lakers, Stephen A., because if Kawhi would have went to the Lakers in the preseason, what we all would have said, why even bother watching? No one's going to beat that team. So even if Harden, KD, and Kyrie's not quite that because KD's coming off an injury and Kyrie has chemistry issues and they're both ball stoppers, Kyrie and Harden, and so people will say, what? It's still two MVPs and an all-star plus. It doesn't prove the same thing as if he goes to Philadelphia, where Simmons and Embiid couldn't get it done, where Daryl Morey's going to get him the right complementary pieces. So if he wins, he will have proved something. A championship is supposed to prove, I'm not just an MVP in the regular season, I'm an all-time great when you need it most. Harden needs that, I think, more than others, and I'd love to see him do it in Philly.
I think you're wrong, and I think you're wrong on several fronts. Number one, you made the point about winning a championship and bringing one to Brooklyn is something special. So let's understand that even though it would mean the world to Philadelphia, who hasn't won an NBA championship since 1983, the reality of the situation is as significant as that would be, and I worked in Philadelphia for 17 years, so I would know. The bottom line is Brooklyn is a different animal. Gotham City is a different animal.
No doubt.
Just like you just said, that's number one. Number two, I got news for you. No matter how much you wanted to cry the situation with Kevin Durant in terms of what he has to prove because, you know, he went and joined a juggernaut in Golden State, I would remind you at how he was looked upon prior to arriving in Golden State and how is he looked upon now. We can say what we want, but we're looking at a two-time champion and a two-time NBA Finals MVP. Now, we could say a lot of things. We can't take that away from KD. He's still a two-time champion and a two-time league MVP. Number three, when LeBron and them went to Miami, remember, even though it was KG, Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, and a big four because Rondo matters in the postseason. The bottom line is they were on the tail end of that. They had won the championship in 2008. They had lost in a game seven to the Lakers in 2010. It wasn't the same after that. Plus, they had health issues those final 2 years. So LeBron and basically his toughest competition in Miami were the Indiana Pacers led by Paul George. In this particular city, and of course, when KD went to Golden State, there was no competition. There was nobody that could mess with them. Only LeBron had a prayer. But in this particular situation, we look at the Lakers. The Lakers are no joke. Last time I checked, you did say Kawhi was the best in the world. Well, Kawhi and Paul George are still with the Clippers. We can't sniff at that. Milwaukee just loaded their squad in the East. They're formidable. So I just gave you three teams that should be able to sit up there and have a shot to knock off a Brooklyn team with KD, Harden, and Kyrie. That makes it interesting and compelling, which would make a victory that much more significant. And the fact that it would be in Brooklyn would seal the deal.
Well, you're right that no matter what people like me say who like want to see more competition or whatever, the fact is the championships do cloak a player differently, right? Like we see them differently, even if we tell ourselves beforehand, I'm not going to be swayed by that. They're stacking the deck in an unfair way. But I'm talking about the way, not the way it is, the way it ought to be. 100% about Brooklyn, we agree about that. It would be something special. He simply will not have proved the same thing. If you have to give me an example, Stephen A., of two MVPs plus an all-star plus on the same team that didn't win a championship. It never happens. Stockton and Malone with Hornacek, Hornacek won an all-star plus and Stockton won an MVP, really, right? So even that's not the same. It almost, I don't think it's ever happened. If you have talent like KD, Harden, and Kyrie all in and around their primes, they're supposed to win a championship. Let me see him in a situation where you can, but you're not supposed to. I think it's better.
All right. Looks like we're done there. Sixers haven't won a championship since 83, and obviously the Nets never had.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Stephen A., it's actually one of KD's teammates who's doing the talking. He told BasketballNews.com that Nets fans shouldn't temper expectations about the upcoming season. Asked how KD is looking behind the scenes, Nets center Jared Allen said, I'll just keep it short and simple. KD is back again. So with that being said, should we have doubts about KD being KD this season, Stephen A.? And Perk back here with us.
No, did you ever hear doubts coming out of my mouth, Molly, in the last year and a half that we've talked about Kevin Durant? Ever once? Any doubts at all?
No, sir.
And it ain't going to happen now. And here's the reason why. If KD was Michael Jordan, if he were, back in the day, let me go old school, the David Thompson, the Dr. J. Julius Irvins of the world, stuff like that, and their game was predicated on their elite athleticism, that would be one thing. But even though we know KD to be a great athlete, what stands out to me is the combination of his sniper-like marksmanship combined with the fact that he's 6'11 with a 7'6 wingspan. You understand that Kevin Durant barely has to jump. He can damn near tippy-toe the dunk, for crying out loud, because that's how tall he is with that damn wingspan, okay? And so if you're guarding him, what are you going to do to contest his shot? Even if he doesn't have to jump. That's why I view him as somebody who can average the career 27 point per game scorer that he is. He can do that in his sleep. Now, there are other elements that come along with the game. You know, your lateral movement, your ability to defend, you handling the ball, trying to create shots off the dribble. I get all of that, and I understand that. And if he's not healthy, that can be compromised. But it has been a year and a half that he's been out of competition. They say it takes you about a year to get healthy, get healthy enough to play, and almost 2 years to be fully recovered from it. Fair enough. The man hasn't played in over a year and a half. And so to me, I look at it and I say to myself, I'm anticipating the season progressing come springtime into the summer, because the season's not going to end until late July. And by the time May rolls around, do I think he's going to be 100%? Yes. I'm not worried about KD in the slightest. He's going to average at least 25. He's going to be just fine.
Saying KD's going to average 25, talking about his wingspan and his height and the style of play, that's fine. But is he going to be KD? KD is not just a dude who rolls out of bed and averages 25. KD is a special, historically different all-around player at his size. And he became an excellent defender. Not all that long ago, became an excellent defender. When you look at recovery from Achilles throughout history, Breonna Stewart notwithstanding, right, it almost never happens that the person's 100% again. Almost never. Dominique Wilkins came back, and part of what he did was he shot the ball better. How much, like, you know, Dominique had areas of his game that he could improve. What area of KD's game? Is he going to shoot it even better now to compensate for something? Kobe Bryant was never the same, obviously. I mean, he was older, but he was never the same. Most players who come back from Achilles, the vast majority of them who ever live, are not the same. Now, is 80% of KD going to be hard to tell the difference? Yeah, 80% of KD is not just an all-star. It's more than that. But that doesn't mean he's going to be the same guy. Like the MVP, the heir apparent to LeBron, the guy who's challenging LeBron as best player in the game. That's not what that means. It means he can still be an effective player. He might win a championship. I think if he does, it would prove greatness in a way he hasn't had to yet. But all that is different than saying he's coming back at 100, back at 100%. And if you do believe he's coming back at 100%, maybe he does. I was wrong about Tom Brady's cliff, right? Then he's bucking the odds. The odds are stacked against him. And if he does it, great. But I don't think you can assume that with almost no examples in history, he's going to be one of them.
Oh, Max, please, give me a break. Look, Kevin Durant is the best scorer to ever touch a basketball. He's the best scorer in NBA history. That's first off. Let me tell you something about Kevin Durant.
Not true.
Kevin Durant eats, sleep, and breathe basketball. He's not one of those guys, those NBA players that get caught up in the limelight outside of basketball, the club and the jewelry, the cars. No, he's from his house to the basketball court. He is the true definition of a gym rat, and here's why. I played with Kevin Durant for 4.5 years with the Oklahoma City Thunder. When he fractured his foot, I would go into the gym to get on the elliptical to make sure I made weight the next day because I had to keep my weight down. I would go in there late at night. Kevin Durant would be in there shooting jump shots, sitting down in a chair because he couldn't put pressure on his foot. So when I tell you this, Max, and we're hearing these rumors, and you hear a guy like Jared Allen say that KD is back, you better believe it. And Stephen A. Smith is right. He could get out of the bed and drop 25 in his sleep or 27 in his sleep. Look, if KD is 80% healthy at the start of the season.
Thank you.
80%. If he's 80%, not only will he be back to KD, but KD, the way that he loves the game of basketball and him being away from it for a year and a half and have to watch others go out there and compete and have fun and watch LeBron James win a championship, I'm willing to bet everything that I have that Kevin Durant might just be the MVP next year. That's how serious it is. That's how serious it is for him.
You're talking about a gym rat. KP.
What's
Kendrick
up,
Perkins,
what's up, Stephen A?
I'm with you 1,000%. I'm with you 1,000%. I was going to mention that. I'm telling you right now, Kevin Durant's going to be a top two, top three candidate for league MVP next year. This brother going to put on a show in Brooklyn. And think about what you said, Max. Think about what you said about Brooklyn. If you know, Max, what Brooklyn is, all right? If you know what Brooklyn is, what you think he know about Brooklyn since he elected to go there and he's been there sitting down watching them for the last year? It's going to –
Wait a minute.
Y'all watch.
That's not the question. I'm not doubting that he can win a championship in Brooklyn. I think it would be great. I'm rooting for it for to happen. I think there's a really good chance it will. That's not the question.
Question was, do we
KD
have doubts about
being KD is not what you say. 80% of being KD, Perk. Stephen A., that's not KD. 80% of KD is not KD. Stephen A., I appreciate your point about the fact that this is not, I think it's a good one, that this is not like regular seasons. He's had extra time to come back, usually from a catastrophic injury, a year to get back and then another year to get back to what you were. So maybe at the end of the year, he could still be KD, but the odds are even stacked against that. I heard the same thing about Kobe Bryant. I was in L.A. at the time. He's going to go back to being Kobe. Kobe, talk about a gym rat, right? Talk about a dude who's just thinking about basketball in the middle of L.A. and worldwide celebrity. He was laser focused on it, and he never got back to being Kobe Bryant. He had flashes of himself. He was never Kobe again, not the real Kobe Bryant like we knew. So KD's a little younger. KD doesn't have as many miles on him as Kobe. I think KD will get back to being an all-star. The odds say he can, even if he's 80% of himself. But that ain't KD. 80% of KD ain't KD, Perk.
But Max, you keep talking about odds, and you keep talking about history. You bringing up Dominique Wilkins. Man, that was back in the 70s and 80s. They got more technology. And by the way, Dominique Wilkins, like 75% of his career, 75% of his talent relied on athleticism. KD don't rely on athleticism like that, Max. Max, listen to what I'm trying to tell you, man.
Dominique was one of the few who got back. I'm using him as an example of success. There aren't that many.
The man, KD is a heavyweighter. This is a lightweight. This is a lightweight. Yes, he's long and lanky, but he's not carrying the bulk of weight. He's skinny, so it's not going to be that much pressure on his Achilles. And I'm not a doctor, and I'm not about to go back and forth with you about history about Achilles because you're not a doctor either. I'm telling you, if you're hearing the rumors, and guys like Jared Allen, and I heard other players that have been playing with KD saying KD is back, you better believe it because I played with him for 4 years, and I'm going to tell you again. He was out with a fractured foot, and I was going to the gym on a late night, and the man was in the gym sitting down in a chair getting spot shots up from 15 foot to the three-point line. He is a gym rat. He's been out for a year and a half, and you better believe that he's going to come back on the tab.
The point is, Max, you bring up Kobe.
I'm wrong.
Kevin Durant is about five inches taller and a wingspan that's got about 6 or 7 inch wingspan advantage. It's not the same situation.
Preach.
It really isn't.
Preach.
The reason I didn't want him playing in that finals, and remember I was saying, Stephen A., we were on the road, right? I mean, we took a show to Golden State, right? And I was saying he shouldn't play in these finals. And the reason was I didn't want him to compromise the rest of his prime because I didn't care what they told me. That looked like an Achilles to me, not a calf. And then it happened officially, right? My fear was not that KD wouldn't work hard, that he couldn't get back on an NBA court, that he wouldn't be an excellent player again. My fear is he'd never be KD again. He would never be the player as great. He was at the apex of his powers, it looked like. He'd never get back there. Guys, I hope you're right and I'm wrong. I don't want to be right about this take. I want to be wrong. But that's not what the history of this injury says. If he is able to get back to his real self, he will be one of a handful of people to ever do it. I hope he is. But the odds are against it.
But here's the problem.
The odds are against it.
But the odds. Yeah, we heard you with the odds. We got it. Here's the flip side to it. Again, you always lose something. MJ lost some things. Kobe lost some things. But they modified themselves and their game in a way that enabled you to sit up there and say they were still who they are. It might have been a different version, but they were who they are. I'm saying to you, yes, you could talk about KD and him moving a foot the way that he used to a customary lift. You might see some modification. You might see some difference. But in the end, what you expect from KD is what he's going to give you. That's what myself and Kendrick Perkins are saying. Now, you can pick how, but what you expect from him is what you're going to get.
We're overstating. His game isn't predicated on athleticism. Part of his greatness is he's athletic at his size, right? But Whereas Jordan could develop a better outside shot. So could Dominique, actually, which is what he did after injury. I'm not talking about Jordan after injury. You're saying something always goes, you have to compensate. What is it that Kevin Durant is going to develop that he doesn't already have? Right? Like, it's not, well, Durant's going to learn how to shoot. He already shoots. Was he going to play defense better? Actually, harder to with the Achilles injury. But he already plays defense.
That's the
he
wrong
already does
question.
All those things.
That's the wrong question. That's the wrong question. Here's the right question. Hold on. Hold on, Max. Here's the right question, because that's the wrong one. The right question is, what is he going to be missing? What, based on what you've seen him do on the court, what is it that Kevin Durant is going to be missing that you think we need to be concerned about?
Some athletic ability, the minutes will go down. Probably the defense will suffer, and probably some athletic ability suffers.
Max, listen. It's multiple players that have been playing pickup ball with Kevin Durant and have came out over the past few months and said that KD is back. He's back. What else do you need to know? Like, these are guys that don't have to make up anything. They're telling you, we are playing with this guy in pickup every single day. And he looks better than what he did when he was before he got hurt.
I'm glad
and
to hear it.
And we know this because why? So why are you constantly wanting to argue about the history and the history? And I'm sitting up here telling you that guys, that from what I've been hearing,
that
the players that been playing, with KD said that he's back. And me and Stephen A telling you that KD's back, which we know he is. It's about to be a problem.
So playing pickup games is the same thing as playing in this case, a 72-game season plus playoffs in the NBA.
Max,
that's the same thing? No, I don't doubt he can hit high heights. Can you sustain it over the course of a season? What's the minutes load even going to be? It's not going to be the same.
Basketball is basketball as long as you're playing against elite level, Max. When you ever been inside UCLA or the pickup runs when they go and compete, the NBA players, they play for hours. They play for hours, Max. Winners stay on. Check ball, high-level competition. That's what he's doing on a day-to-day basis. Basketball is basketball, especially when you're playing against elite and the same caliber players and the guys that you're going to be competing with. So I'm telling you, Max, that
and remember,
KD
Max,
is back. Stephen A. is telling you this.
And remember this, Max. This is the key point. If you need to worry about something, I have no problem, Max, if you're sitting there and you're saying, excuse me, I'm worried about him getting hurt again, just like you were worried about him getting hurt in the finals. But I'm saying if he's out on a court and he's healthy, look the hell out, because he's unstoppable. He's unguardable. Period.
Once again, coming off this injury, not without exception, but almost without exception. There are only a handful of differences.
Why can't he be the exception? Why can't he be the exception, Max? He's the exception with everything
goodness.
Else. How come he can't be the exception here?
I can't take this anymore. This is too much.
Coming off this injury, almost always, the minutes go down, the efficiency goes down, and the production goes down. I'm not making it up.
Always.
This is true.
But you said, with a few exceptions. And I said, how come he can't be the exception? He's been the exception with everything else. Why are you picking up numbers in history? How come he can't be the exception?
It's possible he can, and if he does, he'll be the exception that proves the rule.
Oh, it is possible.
If he
does. So now it's possible.
But if I was a betting man, I would
be saying he's the exception to the rule.
KD again.
Excuse me, I need to say something. If I hear the word exception one more time, I'm going
to
poke my eyeballs out.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
So the bad news for Warriors fans was the news yesterday that Klay Thompson injured his right lower leg and is scheduled to have an MRI today. The good news is that the team picked James Wiseman with the second pick in the NBA draft. Max Kellerman, you're up first. All things Considering everything that happened with Clay and the injury, do you think that they made the right choice taking Wiseman second?
I believe they did. I believe they did because Clay Thompson's career is not over. Matter of fact, that Clay Thompson was re-upped to a max deal even after he got hurt. He's been out last season. We hope that he's not going to be out this season, but eventually he will be back. This is a three-time champion. This is a guy that went to the playoffs, to the finals five straight times. This is one of the top five shooters in the history of basketball. And obviously Steph Curry with his $200-plus million contract ain't going anywhere. So if I know I got those two for the foreseeable future, all right, and I just gave Draymond $100 million over the next 4 years, why would I not get a big that can give me some minutes at the five, that can rebound and defend, finish at the basket at a decent clip, better than Zsa Zsa Pachulia or Andrew Bogut ever did? Why would I not do that? I love the James Wiseman pick. I think it was a wise decision on their part.
I think it's a bad fit. I mean, Wiseman, look, if they feel he's the most talented guy there, and they want to build their team for the future, I get taking Wiseman. If Klay Thompson is healthy, I also sort of understand it. But the fact of the matter is, in the modern NBA, you have to have some shooting. You know, like, I get it. You could play a different style. Kirk could coach a different style. You could have a more athletic up and down team, Wiseman and Wiggins and these guys. But other than Steph, who shoots? Who's going to get any minutes on this team? If we're just talking about this upcoming season, if Clay isn't there, let's see what happens. Hopefully he is there. But if he's not, Wiggins, Pascal, Draymond, Wiseman, there's not enough shooting. You're not going to even make the playoffs, likely. I mean, maybe with 10 teams with a chance to make the playoffs, maybe. But there's just not enough shooting. So the only defense is if they just look at that and go, we believe in Wiseman's ceiling. If he's DeAndre Jordan, that's a nice player. But DeAndre Jordan in this league, Hassan Whiteside, although his career didn't go the way maybe people were hoping, those guys are available every year in free agency, and they're not that expensive. So to shoot the number two pick in the draft on Wiseman, you have to believe he's more than that.
Well, Max, he is more than that, first off. And you don't just have to have shooting to make the playoffs. You have Steph Curry, you have Draymond Green, and you have Andrew Wiggins. And then you add Wiseman. Hopefully, Clay could come back. And, you know, I'm praying that it's not that serious. But if Clay come back and he's able to come back and perform, then we're back to talking about them competing for a title. But without Clay, this team still has enough to at least make the playoffs in the Western Conference. Anytime you have a guy like Steph Curry, who you sat on here and argued with me about a month ago, telling me, why is he so much better than James Harden? If you, long as you have Steph Curry on the court, you have a chance at winning ball games. Not getting James Wiseman was huge. He's not your typical big. This guy runs the floor. Yes, he's a lob threat at the rim and a rim protector, but he actually have offensive moves on the low block. And by the way, he was coached last year, although he didn't play a lot of games for Memphis. But he was still around those guys working out. And Penny Hardaway, Mike Miller, those guys were NBA players around the NBA. So he's NBA ready already. And you know what? I was watching First Take earlier this morning, right, checking y'all out. And Jay Will said something. Stephen A., what's the word? Because I don't know how to pronounce it. The word you always say.
Blasphemous.
Blasphemy, right?
Blasphemous?
Yes, blasphemous.
He said
that Andrew Bogut was able to stretch the floor for the Golden State Warriors.
He apologized for that because he said he was on two hours sleep, KP. He said he was on 2 hours sleep and he had a brain fart. He didn't mean that. That's what he said.
Yeah. I don't care if you was on 15 minutes of sleep. You can't have that type of brain fart. But anyway. James Wiseman is more than what you're giving him credit for, Max.
And he's
going to prove you wrong, okay? He's going to prove you wrong. You just sit back and watch.
Well,
listen, James Wiseman, let me tell you something right now. If you got a guy, Max, just imagine this, Max. I got a shooter like Steph Curry, who moves so fluidly without the basketball. I'm constantly spying, and I'm worried about him. I can't pin down on Wiseman near the basket. So he's going to see one-on-one coverage on the NBA level. Because ain't nobody leaving Steph Curry open.
Yep.
And you got a team that's watching him. Because they don't want it to kick out to him. Keep that in mind.
Guys, I understand. And Wiseman could prove me wrong if he really develops beyond, say, a DeAndre Jordan type or someone like that. That's a very nice player. I expect Wiseman to have a nice career. I'm talking about for this Warriors team. You're trying to win a championship. Mm-hmm. And now you're down Klay Thompson. Guys, I know not everyone has to shoot. You can be an excellent player without it. What I'm talking about is just think of the minutes on the floor. Other than Steph, no one shoots. Wiggins is below average. Pascal doesn't shoot. Wiseman doesn't shoot, not from three. And neither does Dre anymore. No one shoots.
Max, just because Wiggins don't shoot don't make him a scorer. He's a career 20-point-a-night scorer. He still could get right. buckets, and we're not going to discredit what Draymond Green brings to the table. The Warriors will make the playoffs this year if Klay don't come back.
They have good players. It's not
okay,
the issue.
I can't believe
they pretty clearly couldn't get a trade for
Wiseman
and Wiggins.
We haven't mentioned this, Perk. Perk, we got you on the show. Your team plays tonight, the Arizona Cardinals. That's your squad, right? Kyler Murray, Thursday night football. It's going to be Hawks, Cards.
Cardinals
we
win.
Can't wait.
Best
We're going to break it all down tomorrow. Perk, we might have to invite you on the show tomorrow to talk some football.